Yesterday, we had an opportunity to begin a new series of reflections from Pope Francis on the topic of discernment. And as I spoke about discernment, it was just an introductory talk, but I used examples from the scriptures or examples from the liturgy of the past couple of days. I remember saying that in yesterday's reading, the apostles had to make a discernment what to do when the Sanhedrin told them not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore, and they decided to disobey the Sanhedrin and obey God. Well, today's first reading, which is a continuation from yesterday, gives a perhaps a better example of discernment. This is the action of Gamaliel, the respected Pharisee. Remember, at the end of yesterday's reading, the members of the Sanhedrin were so angry that they wanted to kill the apostles. So they were all caught up in their emotion, their jealousy, their fury, to the point of murder, basically. And they wanted to have them put to death right away. So Gamaliel here stands up and, this is today's reading, puts the apostles out of the room for a moment and says, wait a minute, think a little bit, which is one of the first steps to discernment. No, stop. Don't let impulse take over. How does he say it? Be careful what you're about to do to these men. Be careful. Think about it a little bit. And then he gives examples of other movements that came and went, the rise and fall of different groups. And so his advice is, have nothing to do with these men. Just let them go. Forget about it. If it's of human origin, it's going to die out. And if God is behind it, you're not going to be able to destroy that, and you may end up fighting God himself, which is a pretty bad position to put yourself in. So, good discernment. You might call it the Gamaliel principle. Now, it's not the only thing that we use. It's not the only principle that we use for considering a decision, because there are some things that we should oppose. We can't just let everything go and see what happens. That's kind of what he says here. Some things require that we decide right away, either for or against. But if we don't know, and if it's prudent simply to wait a little bit, that's the thing to do. You see this in the life of the church all the time. There are lots of things that rise up over the course of history. Movements, so-called apparitions, messages, devotions, and people get caught up in them, and the church just watches. A lot of times the church does a little investigation, says, well, we're not quite sure if this is from God or not, so we're going to wait. And a lot of times people get frustrated at how slow the church is to decide. But it's this principle. Well, you don't want to fight against God, and if something is merely human, it just fades out anyway. So there's no need to rush into anything. Now, in yesterday's talk of the Pope, he said we have to make decisions about lots of things: food, clothing, change of job, relationships. And I remember saying, well, discernment about food isn't anything like discernment about relationships. And then we have today's gospel, and it's about food. It's kind of an interesting thing. There's not enough food, there's 5,000 people, and this little boy has 5 loaves. Now, no one would say he had to make a discernment, but he did. Because before making a good decision, you have to consider what is the right thing to do, what's the right thing to do for me, for this situation. And this little boy made available his little packet of little ba'on, 5 barley loaves, and 2 fish. Now, we are familiar with this miracle, the multiplication of the loaves. It's in all the Gospels, and we read it many times. Why are we reflecting on this event now here in the second week of Easter? It's good to get a liturgical perspective on this. Remember, during the Easter season, what we're trying to take into account is this new thing that has happened, this revelation of a higher life, of a risen life. And Jesus is revealing himself as someone who is not merely a man, but is God, Son of God, who has divine power. So in the context of the Easter season, this multiplication of the loaves is also a indicator of who Jesus is. It's also a preparation for next week. If you follow the daily liturgy, you know that the third week of Easter is all about the bread of life discourse, John chapter 6. So this is the very beginning of John chapter 6. We skipped over John chapter 4 and John chapter 5, and now we're focusing on this bread topic. Because the great bread, the bread of life, the Eucharist, is what sustains us in the risen life. The Eucharist doesn't keep us alive forever in this world, but it's the bread that keeps us alive forever. So that's very important. If we're going to understand what this risen life is all about and how we sustain it, we have to understand Eucharist. Okay, let's go back now to the miracle. Jesus sees the crowd. It says here he knows what he's going to do, but he asks Philip, where can we buy enough food for them to eat? He's testing Philip. We might think that's not fair. I mean, he already knows, and Philip, how could Philip know? But see, we shouldn't be so quick to judge the Lord. He does test us. He does put us in situations to make decisions, to consider, and very often to consider the limitations that we're facing or the impossibility that we're facing, so that we will abandon ourselves to him, so that we won't rely on ourselves as much as we tend to do. You see, if we're reasonable, if we're making good discernments, we will realize there are a lot of things that are way beyond our power and out of our control, which is would really be disturbing if we didn't belong to the Lord, if we weren't children of God, if he weren't taking care of us. Sure, we would really be disturbed that we don't have enough food, we can't take care of people, we can't prevent disasters from happening. Well, who do we think we are? We think are we in charge of the whole world? Are we in charge of feeding the whole world? Well, no. But God is, and we belong to him. We are his instruments. So what Jesus does here in putting Philip to the test, and what he does when he puts us to the test, is try to make us or awaken us to the realization, awaken us to the truth that we are dependent on him. We don't have enough to feed 5,000 people. Nowhere near enough. We can count up all our 200 days wages. Fine. It's okay to count up how much money you have, as long as you realize it's not enough. There's never enough. So, well, Philip doesn't really pass the test because he's still focused on how much money it would cost. He doesn't say, we can't do this, we need to rely on God. Andrew's the one who brings the boy forward. We don't know what the boy was thinking. He's not mentioned in the other Gospels, but it seems that this boy, in his childlike simplicity, in his trust in the Lord Jesus, in his awareness that there's a need and that he has something and can offer it, that this boy makes available to the Lord his measly 5 loaves. Not only loaves, barley loaves. And barley loaves were the low class food, the food of the poor. Andrew is the one who says, what good are these? The boy doesn't say that. The boy says, this is what I have. Here's what I have. And we know what happens. Jesus takes the little bit that's given to him, and he's the one who multiplies it, makes it enough. The boy didn't do it, the apostles didn't do it, Jesus does it. And this is what we have to know if we're going to understand Easter. We don't raise ourselves up out of the tomb. We don't overcome impossible burdens. God does these things. But he does them for us if we're willing to cooperate, if we're willing to let him be in charge. Not only does he provide for us, not only does he take care of us, he does it with abundance. 12 wicker baskets of fragments. There are more fragments at the end than there were loaves at the beginning. This is God's superabundant love, superabundant bread. It's certainly a sign of the Eucharist, which we'll be pondering more next week. But even now, we can say, if we're going to discern, if we're going to reflect reasonably about our situation, about what we're facing, if we take into account who's in charge here, and if we take into account God's will for the good of each one of his children, then we can entrust ourselves to him. We don't have enough anyway. But with the Lord, even a little bit is more than enough.